Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Biscuits and Jam from Southern Living. I'm your host, Sid Evans. And today I'm talking with a blues guitarist and songwriter whose roots run deep in the Mississippi Hill Country. Cedric Burnside is the grandson of the famous blues man R.L. Burnside, and he's also a Grammy Award-winning artist who's taking the genre into new territory. He started playing the drums when he was still in grade school, and by the age of 13, he was playing juke joints and traveling the country with his grandfather, whom he referred to as Big Daddy. Now, Burnside has a new album called Hill Country Love, his unique spin on the Mississippi sound that his grandfather helped define. We'll talk about all that, his grandmother's biscuits, and how he's introducing the blues to a new generation, all on this week's Biscuits and Jam. Cedric Burnside, welcome to Biscuits and Jam.
Thanks for having me, man. Good to be here.
Great to see you. Where am I reaching you right now?
Well, I'm actually in Holly Springs, Mississippi. I'm at Russ College Library.
Great. So close to home.
Very close to home.
Yeah. Well, Cedric, I've got to start out by just saying congrats on the new album. It's called Hill Country Love.
Thank you.
And it's a collection of 14 terrific songs. And I've got to say there's one thing that stood out to me, and that is in the credits, it says that it was recorded in an old building in Ripley, Mississippi.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So tell me about that.
Well, I spent a lot of time in Ripley. Really good friend of mine named Chuck Duncan. He's from Ripley. And so I go there to see him, and we was looking at a building I was going to make my juke joint out of. And it was an old lawyer's office, well, lawyer's building. And it was one of the oldest buildings in town. It was like 150 years old. Me and the landlord couldn't really get things going, so I'm going to have to find another spot. But I did get a chance to record there. It had a great acoustic sound in it and everything. And so one weekend I come home off a tour. I was on tour with my good buddy Luther Dickerson and Coda Dickerson. I was telling him I was ready to record another album. He was like, how soon? And I told him, I said, well, man, pretty soon, I think I need to write about 6 more songs and then I'll be ready, you know? And he say, well, when we get off this tour, man, I'll bring the studio down and we can do it. I was like, really? He was like, yeah. So when we got off the tour, man, I finished writing those songs and I called Luther. I said, I'm ready. And about 3 days after we made it home, he brought the studio in and we went in to record. 2 days, we was done.
That's great. That sounds like it was meant to be.
Oh, yeah. I think it was. The universe was working with us.
Well, and I love hearing that you're interested in maybe starting your own juke joint someday.
Oh, yeah, man. That's been a part of my life, my whole life. I grew up in the juke joints. I got my start there with my big daddy at the juke joints and the house parties, of course. I miss that. There's not very many juke joints around the North Mississippi area these days. So I want to kind of bring that back, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's great to hear. And I hope you'll keep us posted when you get one up and running, okay?
Oh, definitely.
Well, Cedric, tell me about the Hill Country a little bit. When you talk about the Hill Country, and I'm from Memphis, by the way, so okay, you know, yeah, I know this part of the world, but where would you point on a map when you're talking about the Hill Country? What part of Mississippi are we talking about? Is it kind of a collection of a number of counties up there? What kind of defines it?
Yeah, well, mainly where I grew up at is the northeast part of Mississippi. And that would be around the Marshall County area, Bend County area. Holly Springs would definitely be one of the main Hill Country spots. Olive Branch, Byhalia, Tupelo will be the Hill Country area, you know. So round about the northeast part of Mississippi is where I'm at. And that's where the music is quite different, you know. It's quite different from even 2 hours away is the Delta, which would be Clarksdale. And the music there is great. They use the 145. Memphis is an hour away. And the music that we play versus the music that you hear in Memphis is quite different. The Hill Country Blues is its own thing. It's not like any other blues that you will hear. And my big daddy, he gave me my chance to get out there and start my career, along with the good Lord, of course. And so when you hear his music, it's very unique, just like Junior Kimbrough. If you hear his music, it's very distinct. It's very unique. It don't sound like anybody else. You know, I hear the same thing about my music these days, you know. But I just really thank the Lord and Big Daddy for giving me a chance to do my thing.
Well, Cedric, talk to me about Holly Springs a little bit. I mean, this is where you grew up, you know, kind of just down the road from Memphis. And when you think about the home where you grew up, what comes to mind? I mean, what did it look like when you were driving in the driveway?
Well, that's a great question, Sid. I grew up in the sharecropping times when my big daddy was a sharecropper. So our house wasn't very big at all. It was a 4-room house. And when I said 4 rooms, it only had 4 rooms. And 2 of those rooms we had to make bedrooms out of, you know. And one was the kitchen and one was the living room. Under the circumstances that I grew up in, I did not know that, you know, we was poor, you know, even though anybody could have saw it. I guess we was just so used to it as kids. We didn't know that we grew up poor, you know, and I think the music helped a lot with that because my big daddy did house parties every other weekend, you know, to try to make ends meet. He would get off the tractor at night and come home. He would be dusty and dirty and everything, man. But he would prepare the party for people that's going to come to listen at the music. So that's kind of how it was as a kid, you know, 5 or 6 years old. When you pull in the driveway, you see a few chickens. You see a few hogs. And that was just about it in an old shack house.
And how many of y'all were in that house, Cedric?
I'm going to say at least 20.
Wow.
That I can remember. At least 20 people, maybe a couple more, you know, give or take a few. But my mom was staying there and her kids was there. And I had a few uncles that were staying there and their kids was there. You know, my big dad and my big mama was there. So, yeah, it was quite a few of us.
So tell me a little bit about your mom and, you know, how she managed all that. That's a lot of mouths to feed. That's a lot of activity. How did she handle all that?
Wow. Well, my big mama, man, she was a superwoman.
And this is your grandmother you're talking about.
Yeah. She was a superwoman. She would do whatever it took to get up in the AM and make breakfast for everybody. And when I say make breakfast for everybody, she would get up about 4 o'clock AM and she would start making biscuits and she would make about 3 panes of biscuits, 30 or 40 biscuits. She would make salmon patties, salmon croquettes for everybody. And when I say she had to make a lot, I mean she had to make a lot, man.
Yeah.
Every morning she would get up and she would just do what she had to do. I always called my big mama a superwoman, you know, and she was just that.
And what was her name?
Alice Mae Burnside. Yep, Alice Mae. I used to get up some mornings with her when she would cook. And I would sit there and watch her. And I would just be in amazement. Also, I couldn't wait till that food get done either because you know, I always was ready for one of those biscuits. But I happened to learn a lot from her in the kitchen. I'm no stranger to the kitchen myself. I see myself in there a lot these days making those biscuits and whipping up that cornbread like she used to do it, you know. So it was a lesson learned in all of that.
You have some of those recipes, or at least you have them in your head?
I do. I have them in my head. I have nothing written down. All in my head.
And Cedric, tell me about your mom. I mean, you grew up going to these juke joints, and you start playing drums when you're real young, and you're going out to some places that most kids don't ever see until they're a whole lot older. How did your mom get on board with all that?
Ooh, she did not like it at all at first, you know, but my big daddy kind of talked her into it He told her that he was going to take care of me, and she believed that he would do that. And of course, he did, but that didn't stop her from not liking it. She still did not like it at all. But like I said, we grew up in the sharecropping era, and we didn't have much money. So when I did get the chance to travel with my big daddy, I made a little money. And I had a younger brother. Unfortunately, he passed in 2012. And I got a younger sister. She's still living. Her name is Sonia, and my brother name was Cody. Due to my dad not being around as much when I was young, when we was young, that was another way for me to make a little money and bring income into the house. And my mom was happy for that. Even though she didn't feel so hot with me going out of town, she was happy that we was able to pay bills and kind of live. I was able to buy shoes and socks and stuff for my sister and my brother for school. So that kind of helped her change her mind a little bit when she knew that I was going to make a little money, you know, and not just going out there to go out there.
Yeah. And your grandfather, did he kind of watch out for you at these places, or was he too focused on the music? I mean, he must have had a lot going on.
He did, but he did keep an eye on me. Every venue I went to, he made sure that I had a ribbon on my wrist so they wouldn't give me anything to drink, which I wasn't drinking as a teenager myself anyways. I guess when I got about 17, 18, I did partake a few times.
You know? I'm sure, yeah.
But yeah, he really kept an eye on me. And for that first couple of years, I slept in the same hotel room with him every night for a couple of years. And then eventually I started getting my own hotel room.
I mean, that's pretty amazing, Cedric, when you think about it. Most people just don't get that kind of relationship with a grandfather.
Yeah.
You know, not only to be able to play music with him and to be on the road with him, but to stay in a hotel and just spend all that quality time is pretty unique.
You know, Sid, you just brought back a bunch of memories. Just sitting there with my big dad a lot of times and watching him pull out his guitar in the AM and practice a little bit before we hit the road again. I used to sit and watch him, and it would remind me of home when I was a little kid. That always brings tears to my eyes because I miss that. Even now today, I miss that. I think about that a lot, you know, even on the stage, I think about him a lot, you know.
What was it about him that made his music so special and made it stand out? I mean, there's a lot of blues musicians in that part of the world, and there are a lot of really good ones who never became anywhere near as famous as your grandfather did. I mean, was it his voice? Was it his songwriting? Was it his charisma? Was it his guitar playing? You know, what was it that kind of made him really stand out as a blues musician?
I think it was a little bit of all of it. I think it was his guitar playing and definitely his voice. Both was unique and amazing. But I would definitely have to say, not that the other musicians wasn't real, but my big daddy was just one of the realest old cats that I knew. He would give you the shirt off his back, literally. I remember us getting in the van and just riding to town, and it would be guys that he didn't even know. He would buy them something to eat. He would take them around and give them a few clothes to wear. And those guys would end up coming to our house. They'd be there for 2 or 3 months, you know, and they become family. It was a little bit of all of that, but mostly it was his realness and his love and compassion just for people. And it wasn't all about the music, even though he loved his music. He cared more about helping people than he really just cared about playing his music. So I think it was more of that.
So that was a big part of his success in life, just the way he interacted with people, and people wanted to help him and people wanted to be around him.
Oh, yeah. Exactly, man.
Yeah.
And I was one of those people. I find myself doing a lot of the things that he would do these days as well. And that's a big passion of mine, is helping people, making sure people is fed and making sure people are covered and not be cold, you know. And I got all of that from Big Daddy, just watching him do his thing in the earth before he passed, you know.
Was he a religious person? I've seen you reference your faith, and I've seen it come through in your music, and it's in your songs, and I've heard you talk about it. You know, is that something that was a part of his life, or is that something that is just more of your personal thing?
Not at all. He was not religious at all. He do love God, but he was not a religious guy. I love God and I love Jesus, but when it comes to just making a religion out of the whole thing, you know, I just want to be a Christ being. I don't want nothing to do with any kind of religion, you know. But no, my big daddy never cared about what people thought of their God, or if they was a Muslim, if they was Buddha. He never cared about none of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he just wanted to love people and play his music, mm-hmm. you know, and do what he can for people in the earth. That's all he really cared about.
You know, he passed away now a long time ago. It was, I think, 2005, you said.
And 2005,
so
correct.
That's, you know, coming up on 20 years ago. So he never really got to see a lot of your success. I mean, the albums, the Grammy Award. What do you think he would have said about all this?
Wow. I have no doubt that he would have been proud. I have no doubt he would have been proud. He would have been mostly proud of me for not quitting, see, because it was times where things got hard and I did want to just let everything go and just quit, you know, and especially after he passed. And so I just thank the Lord and Big Daddy for instilling in me to keep on going and don't let nothing stop me. And that's what I did. And here we go.
Here we go, indeed. I mean, look at what you've done. It's really something.
Yep.
After the break, I'll talk more with Cedric Burnside about his new album, Hill Country Love, and how he's sharing his love of music with his daughters.
I'm Cedric Burnside, and this is my Southern Living Jam Session.
Biscuits or cornbread?
Cornbread.
Okay. Sweet or unsweet?
Sweet.
A good Southern guy right there, yeah. Acoustic or electric?
Acoustic.
Memphis or Nashville?
Memphis.
That's an easy one. All right, fried okra or fried dill pickles?
Fried okra.
Okay. Oh, the best catfish place in Mississippi is blank.
I'm trying to think of it. Oh, man. I cannot think of it. Foxfire Ranch.
Okay. Where's that?
It's in Waterford, Mississippi.
Okay. Foxfire Ranch. We got to look that one up.
Yep.
All right. The best barbecue place in the world is blank.
My grill.
Where's that?
Ashland, Mississippi.
Okay. The dish I'm known for cooking is blank.
Pinto beans.
The best dog I ever owned was named blank.
King.
My all-time favorite juke joint to play in is blank.
Junior Kimbrough's Duke Joint.
And the most Southern thing about me is blank.
Chopping wood.
I like it. Well, I want to talk about the new album. It's called Hill Country Love, and there's a lot of great music on here. This is coming out after you won a Grammy for your last album, I Be Trying, which has to have been a huge moment for you. I mean, does that put some extra pressure on you for this one?
It does not, Sid. And I can tell you why. Because it's what I do. I feel like I am music. You know, I have so much music inside of me and I can barely get all of it out. And if I'm going to be honest with you, I have to say this. I actually wrote this album the end of 2021 before I won the Grammy.
Oh, really?
It just took a while for it to get out. And I'm just actually glad that it's finally coming out. But yeah, most people wouldn't believe it. I wrote this album before I won the Grammy in 2022. I wrote this album at the end of 2021.
Huh. Well, it sounds like a natural evolution to me. you know.
Thank you.
So
thank you very much.
It really does. And like I said, there's just so many great songs on here. I want to ask you about the title track, Hill Country Love. So it has this kind of driving beat to it. And as someone who started as a drummer and who is still a drummer, I'm wondering if you think of these songs sometimes as a drummer first. Do you kind of start with that beat in your head?
Well, you know, Sid, I really used to think of all my music as drums first because that's how I would write them before I started playing guitar. Guitar is definitely my newfound love, but it's a different rhythm. It's a different beat in my head all at the same time. So I find myself coming up with the riff sometimes, and or either I find myself coming up with the words first. And the drums, they come later. And with all these songs that I wrote on Hill Country Love, I actually came up with the words and the music first. And then I went back and tried to put the beats to them on the drums. And then I would show the drummer how I wanted it, how it sounded in my head.
Well, I'm sure you have some very specific ideas about how you want those drums to sound.
Oh, yes, man. And you used to see the drummers sometime when I play a beat in there. They was like, but that's weird. I like, I know it's weird. Look, I get it. I know it's weird. But this is the beat.
That's what I want.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
10 albums to the next show. I can't wait. Let's go. Just pulled up to the spot. It's about to get real hot. I feel real good inside and out. I'm about to go scream and shout. Now I'm gonna spread a little bit of Hill Country Love.
There's another song on this album that really stood out for me, and it's called Strong. And it's very short, but it kind of stays in your head, and it's different than everything else on the record. And I was just wondering what that song means to you and how it came together.
When I wrote that song, Strong, I was thinking about hard times that people have in life. And things that you can go through, just sort of what I was talking about a while ago, going through those hard times, it makes you want to stop, makes you want to quit. But you have to keep on going. You have to be strong and keep pushing, because great, great stuff is on the other side.
Yeah.
And the words kind of speak for itself, you know. You have to take the good with the bad. And once you learn to do that, you'll come out good.
And it kind of speaks to your own journey, too.
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I want to ask you about one more, and we could talk about every single one, Cedric, but it's the last song on the record, and it's Poor Black Maddie.
Oh, yeah.
And this is kind of a tribute to your grandfather. I mean, this is a song that he was known for, and I'm just wondering what it kind of brings to mind for you. I mean, you must have a lot of memories, I would think, of playing this song with him, but is that the case, or where did it come from?
Oh, wow, Sid, I done played that song. I can't even count how many times I done played that song with my big daddy. No matter what album I put out, I always try to put a song or two on the album of my big daddy, just to let people know where I got it from and where I come from, you know. So I always try to do a tribute to him or to Junior and everybody that I can, that I grew up around. And I think my next album, I'm going to do a tribute on Mr. Oter. You know, Mr. Oter and
Otha Turner.
Yeah, Otha Turner, exactly. And then I'm gonna try to do one for Miss Jessamy Hipfield. So those are all the cats that I grew up around, you know. I did another acoustic song on there for Mississippi Fred McDowell. Big Daddy used to do that song also, You Gotta Move. I also love the way he do it, but I also love the way Mississippi Fred McDowell do it. So that was kind of a tribute toward the both of them.
You could do a whole album of those tributes, couldn't you?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, man. Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Well, I want to ask you about The Next Generation. On your last album, you recorded a song with your daughter.
Yes.
Do you see her as someone who's going to kind of continue the Burnside legacy? Is she still interested in music? Is that something that you hope that she'll keep going?
Oh, yeah, of course. She definitely loved music, and she's definitely still interested. I got four daughters now. I just had my last daughter, 2022, and her name is Anna. And I see her right now, man. She's 1.5. She go over and she be slapping on the guitar and she be playing on the piano. So I know that some music is coming out of that little girl right there. She's going to be a musician for sure. But yeah, I want to leave this legacy where my kids, if they want to play music, I want them to play. But it don't even have to be my kids. It can be the other little young kids around the community. If they want to play, I'm open to show them whatever I know. Drums, guitar, it doesn't even matter. Because I think that music is very important, no matter what genre it is. As long as it's talking some good stuff about life and how life is, I think it's very important to keep music going on this earth. People need music all over the world, man. And so, yeah, I'm looking forward to just showing the next generation everything I know.
Yeah.
Starting with my daughters.
Well, you're off to a good start.
Thank you.
Well, Cedric, I just have one more question for you. What does it mean to you to be Southern?
Oh, wow. Well, I can definitely tell you I'm glad to be a country boy. I'm glad to be a country guy. Growing up in the country and watching my big daddy sharecrop. Not that those was great times, but I find myself with a tractor these days. You know, I find myself doing a garden just about every other year, if not every year. So the things that I saw my big daddy do, I still do to this day. And being from Mississippi, I done got asked this question so many times. Man, why are you still staying in Mississippi? You could go anywhere in the world. Yeah, I could. And I done been some of the most beautiful places in the world, but nothing makes me want to leave Mississippi. I love Mississippi. And I love everything about country living.
Well, I love hearing that. And I'm thrilled for you with the new album. It's a great album. And I know you must be really excited to get it out in the world and share it with everybody.
Yes, I am.
And Cedric Burnside, thanks so much for being on Biscuits and Jam.
Sid, thanks so much for having me, man.
Thanks for listening to my conversation with Cedric Burnside. Southern Living is based in Birmingham, Alabama. Be sure to follow Biscuits and Jam on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. And we would love your feedback. If you could rate this podcast and leave us a review, we'd appreciate it. You can also find us online at southernliving.com/biscuitsandjam. Our theme song is by Sean Watkins of Nickel Creek. I hope you'll join me next week when I'll be talking with the musician, actress, and now the host of Farmer Wants a Wife, Jennifer Nettles. We'll see you then.